us being body, soul and spirit this morning. So I'm indebted to the late Reverend Colin Urquhart for giving me the idea of three chairs. There we are. Now, I don't know if anybody can help me. I wanted to produce some very nice quality signs to go on my chairs. But unfortunately, I had them done by a friend of mine, but they're a bit small. Okay, so you've got to have my handwritten ones. Can you see those? Good. It's in green. My wife said that they won't see that. So. Okay. Right. Who would like to do me a little favour? I don't know if somebody would. And stick them on the back of the chair for me. Now, I'm not sure what's happened to my scissors now. Can you? You won't need the scissors. Oh, there we are. Would you like the scissors?
No.
Are you sure?
Yep.
That's good. I always like when the sisters kneel at my feet. It's like being back in Africa. I'll get it in the net for that, won't I? I know I will. There we are. Thank you. Don't sabotage them. Make sure you put it the right way around so they don't fall down. That's it. No, don't you dare. I haven't got enough hands. That's the trouble. And I've got this flash thing as well. Do you like this? This is my new sort of hold the sermon stuff. It's impressive. Spirit, that's, if you like, the God consciousness of a human being. Soul. What's the soul? It's similar in the, if you want to think about it in the Hebrew, as your heart, centre of your being. This is the... No, I won't show you the posh one. I'll show the one I did earlier. What is your soul? Any idea? It's this. It's our mind, our emotions, our will. I could add on to it my likes and my dislikes, my tastes, and one or two other things there. But actually, it's my mind, my emotions, and my will. Judith, would you mind just popping him on there as well? That's marvellous. You're very kind. Thank you. I've now got the scissors. I don't want them dropping out on me. That's good. When we become, when we're born, okay, I was born, I've got a body, and they say, isn't he a beautiful baby? They didn't say that much after that, which is what I live in, but actually my, all this starts to develop. Interesting, you don't have to teach kids to be naughty, do you? They seem to naturally grasp that idea, well, mine did anyway. I'm sure that some of yours never did. And it's a soul. But there's something that's not right. The spiritual part of us is defective. In fact, more than that, the Bible says it's dead. We are born spiritually disconnected. The part that's connected to God is disconnected from God. So we have to function on what it feels like, how I feel. The Bible says, as a person thinks, so they live out their lives in their body. As a person thinks and they reason. Yeah? You agree with that? This is all high-tech stuff. Colin Urquhart says of this condition, which is where the world sort of finds itself, really, and where I find myself before I became a Christian, Until a person is born of the Spirit of God, their soul runs their life. Okay, their soul runs their life. They are used to assessing situations with their minds and reaching their own conclusions. They pay considerable attention to their emotions. And often allow them to rule their minds. Okay? They make their own decisions based on reasoning of their minds and as a result of their emotional desires that they may have, or a combination of both. Their emotions and their reasoning all come together and we make a decision. Like we sit and think, I like that song, didn't like that song. That's neither spiritual or unspiritual, it's just a decision we've made. But when I became a Christian, something very strange happened to me. And it does to us all. That suddenly the Spirit of God is born again. The Bible says that our spirits are regenerated. Nicodemus says in John chapter 3, you know, ask Jesus what it all means. And he says you have to be born again. Not physically, but spiritually. It's got to be reborn, our spirits. Otherwise, you're only functioning on this emotional or mental sphere alone to work your way through life. But when I became a Christian, all of a sudden, it's not just that my sins have gone, but there's this still small voice that starts talking to me. Did he to you?
Yeah.
I read the Bible and the pages jump out at you. First thing I discover is I used to swear a great deal. And all of a sudden it disappeared. Particularly I'd take God's name in vain. And every time I did, I'd say, oh, sorry, Lord. And bit by bit, the Holy Spirit started to affect how I thought and what I did. Because as I thought, so I changed. That's the process of sanctification, being made holy. That's the process of it. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
I've gone off these notes. I'm not sure what I ever bother for, really, but it just looks quite good. That's all fine, isn't it? You know, you understand that. And sometimes a lot of stuff has to take place. And certainly as a young Christian, I found lots of stuff happening that the Holy Spirit starts to make me think differently about. I mean, I didn't have a best of time as a young person with my father. He wasn't a drunk or anything, but he was probably too old to have had me. He didn't know how to handle me very well at all. In fact, for 6 months when I was 15, he didn't speak to me at all. It was actually great. I rather liked it. Well, at least I thought I did. And then I went into business when I was 18. 18, that's all. I trained from 15 to 18 as a barber. And my mother-in-law-to-be said, there's an advert for a shop in Hangleton, in Hove there. And it won't cost very much money. And anyway, cut a long story short, that started to happen. I opened this shop, and it all went well. And my father said, not well done, son, but he said to a friend of mine, and I've become a Christian by now, that won't last very long. He said it. Now, strangely, what it did, it got me thinking that I'll prove you wrong. And it made me quite aggressive in that regard. I was going to prove him wrong. I did prove him wrong. But at a terrible expense, working so hard and everything else. But then God starts to call me to be thinking about the ministry. And God, the Holy Spirit, starts to talk to me. Sorry, I've got to keep moving around. This sermon's worth double the normal rate, Gareth. At least. I should get £2 for this one, not a pound, if you could. God, the Holy Spirit, starts to say, Brian, why? Have you got to prove anything? Because what it did is it caused me to have to prove who I was. Does this ring a bell with anybody? And the Spirit of God started to whisper in my ear. And I remember sitting in a prayer meeting and I laughed out loud because I heard this inner voice. You know, you're not meant to laugh at your prayer meetings. It's most irreligious, I know, but that's the sort of moderator you've got now. He's very irreligious. And my Father in heaven said to me, Brian, you don't need to prove anything to anybody anymore. That made my relationships with other people change beyond all measure. Not trying to prove here I am the great Brian Pickard. You know, aren't I doing well? Something started to change. But it didn't change. I had a breakthrough, but it took years for more of those sorts of hurts to come to the surface. Because you see, the Holy Spirit is wanting to bring renewal to our minds, how we think, to heal our emotions, and to get us to a point where we want to say, not my will, Father in heaven, but your will be done. Most of the time, if we're honest as Christians, too much of it is not God's will at all, it's what I want. And we need to recognise, and particularly as a church together, it's not what I want. And at a church meeting, it's nothing to do with what you want. It's to do with what God wants. It's about discovering his will to be done. This is ongoing, because God can't sort us all out in one go. And I had to go through all sorts of other traumas, perhaps to get to a point where I finally am happy with what God is doing in me. As he finished it, oh no. Oh no, you're not meant to laugh at that, stop it. I shall sort you out later. I won't, I'm too scared of you. But the Holy Spirit wants to bring that healing to those damaged things. Where the teacher said you won't amount to very much. And they still do it sometimes. Where you get sacked for an unreasonable thing at work and you feel hurt and wounded. You feel not up to it. Happens in the ministry as well. I know plenty of my own colleagues that have been hurt and injured. And I've had more than one breakdown where you get hurt by things that people say to you. False expectations. The only nice thing somebody said to me, you're the worst Baptist minister I've ever known. So that was true. But she said it the same breath, but you're not top drawer, you know. I thought, no, that Gareth could have told him that as well. But you see, God calls all sorts of people to do all sorts of things, but he doesn't want us to walk around like the wounded, dragging it all along with us all the time. The Lord wants to bring healing to those things. Some of us have carried around, I am useless, for too long because we don't listen to the voice of the Spirit. And you see, what happens, I become a Christian and my spirit becomes alive. Hallelujah. But unfortunately, my life is not in alignment. It's in my soul has had years sometimes of doing its own thing, doing its own reasoning, doing its own thinking, making all the decisions in the world without referring back to what's on your heart, Father God, for my life. And you know, we're never too old to learn this stuff. It's so important that we understand that Father God is patient and he's faithful and he will not give up on us. My friend Gerald, I'm dropping names today, my friend, the late Gerald Coates, one of the charismatic leaders of the past, said that God loved me as I was. As I was, yes, a sinner, saved by grace. God loved me that much, and my spirit was born again when I said, come into my life, Lord Jesus. Take away my sin. You're my Saviour, my friend. But he loved us as we were, but he loved us too much to leave us like that. He's always loved us too much, but he's incredibly patient. You see, God created humankind in his image with this thing that we would never put in, which is what worries us about artificial intelligence. He created us with free will, the freedom to choose. When I became a Christian, I was not suddenly programmed. Gareth can verify that. It's sometimes a battle because I hear the Spirit of God talking to me. I read the Bible and the words jump out at me, but I don't want to listen. I'm out of alignment with God's will. Does he give up? No. I remember walking along the cliffs, just this side of Eastbourne, with a pastor friend of mine. And I said, God's not talking to me. I can't hear him. I read and I pray and I don't feel he's there. And he says, Brian, what did he last say to you? And I said, he said this. And this awful thing, this man looked at me and he said, and did you do it? And then you know what happens? The lights go on. No. Sorry, Lord. I didn't really want to do that. I prefer it is as I is. I tell you what also can rob us from hearing clearly is the spirit of religion. Religion can rob us from the reality of living faith. Because God's spirit isn't, he is everywhere, but he's also, if I'm born again, where? Oh, yeah, right there. They should never let me out of the cage, really, should they? I know. I am the worst Baptist minister you'll ever have as your moderator. Well, probably, yes, absolutely. But I don't care, you've got me, so that's the end of it. Until you sack me. But it's so easy to not want to hear. It's so easy to let the religious way that we always do things, or we've always done it like that in church or in my religious, my spiritual life, rob me from the living reality that God is faithful every day. God won't give up on us because he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Why? Because God is faithful. God the Holy Spirit is faithful. Right? He won't take his spirit from you and cause you to be spiritually dead. Oh, if you'd, I've been to enough meetings where they say, you've lost your salvation. Nonsense. Jesus went to such lengths to save me and to save you. He went to such lengths. He left the glory of heaven. He left the splendour. He left the all-powerful state that he had. And he came to planet Earth to rescue you and me. What do we sing? Outrageous grace. That he stooped down to embrace us. When we are vile and far away from God. What an incredible thing Jesus has done. That is why I can say that one sacrifice was sufficient for all time. He won't be taking away his spirit out of you, but constantly working on us, however stubborn, however rebellious, however hard-hearted we are, because he loves us. And he wants to transform our lives through transforming our minds. And in a world where we are bombarded with stuff 24/7, awake and asleep, our God says this. Paul wrote and said, don't let the world squeeze you into its mould. But what does it say? Be transformed. I've merged two verses together, actually, two translations. Be transformed. Don't let the world tell you what's happening. Let your mind be transformed. How? By the Spirit of God. When your mind is transformed, I will live differently. Don't we want some politicians doing that as well? Right across the world. Then I live the life that God wants me to. And he will bring me safe home. See, my body needs to be in alignment. Are they going to stack? Yes, they are. With my soul. But my soul needs to be in alignment with God's Spirit. And this is the right way it should be, the Spirit first. Not my will, O Lord, but yours. Does that help? Are you sure? I'm not sure how this sermon was meant to end. I don't know how long I've spoken for, but it doesn't matter. I learned a prayer when I was taking a lot of ministers to a revival in America. And it's a prayer where you say, body, come into alignment with my soul. Soul, come into alignment with my spirit. Spirit, come into alignment with the Holy Spirit of God in Jesus' name. And sometimes when I'm not sure, I say, Lord, I want what you want. When we pray, we don't know how to pray sometimes. Let's ask the Spirit. We don't know how to pray. Ask the Spirit to help us pray. Ask the Spirit to help us understand what the Scripture's saying to us. And ask the Holy Spirit to help us work through those fears and those anxieties and those difficulties. You've only got to turn the news on or listen to the news or watch it on your screen. It can do all this to you. But let's remember that we've got a destiny that is past this life into the next. Don't you want to hear, I know I do, and I know I will do, and I know you will do, the Lord will say, welcome, good and faithful servant, well done. Why? Because I was special? No, because I've allowed him, all the songs we sang this morning about, he's great. He's powerful. He gives us the strength when we're weak to say no to that which is not God's will and yes to what is God's will. It's almost as elementary as that. So may the Lord help us. May he help you and me as we move forward together. I'm excited. Amen, by the way. I'm excited by what God wants to do amongst you. I don't feel that... You do have a pastor, it's me, but I'm only here occasionally and at the end of a phone. They set up a thing called Brian the Moderator for me. I wish I knew what a moderator was, then I'd try and be one, I'm sure. But while I'm here, I want to encourage you to drop those fears that we're only little. What can we achieve? Couldn't have a new building. You've been in this hall far too long. I remember the old building as well. There's a whole world out there. I encourage you today, not just to pray for ourselves, which is important, but to pray equally for those without faith, without Jesus, without the Holy Spirit enabling them to live as God wants. Pray that people will come to find faith in this place and be added to your number. What would you like by the end of a year? Would you like some more people?
Yes.
How many? Well, loads. You can't say, Lord, send loads. You wouldn't cope with loads. But, you know, but we could double in size. You cope with double?
Yeah.
That'd make you 50. Yeah. That would make you an average Baptist church size. And some children. Well, there we are. So when we're praying, say, Lord, how many children? Could we cope with half a dozen more kids? No, Judith, all right. Look at her. But you'd need some people to help with them, wouldn't you? Yeah. So then that's your role to pray for them. Okay. Can you see what I'm trying to say to you? Don't believe we can't. Our role, those prayers unlock the doors. People that prayed for me, including my old grandmother in her Salvation Army bonnet, as it was, and I've got a picture of her praying. Couldn't have known what they were praying for. You, your prayers are powerful. But not just prayers that come from your mind, your emotion, or your will, but prayers. Well, they're the wrong way round now. Never mind, it doesn't matter. You don't want them coming from your will. You want them coming from God's will. Then you can be certain they will be answered. So as a church, ask the Lord, how many do you want to send us? We want them. And then start to pray specifically. I don't want to hear if it's thy will, O Lord, from any of you. All right, that's not a prayer at all. That's a cop-out. Because our desire is to discover what God's will is and then to pray for it. Let me pray for you right now. Lord, we live in exciting but challenging times. We recognise our own frailties and our own weaknesses and what age does to us as well. But Lord, we want to place ourselves at your feet and say, Lord, not our will as a church, as a congregation, but your will. We want to say in our lives, Lord, there are areas that we know need touching and healing, renewing. Help us, Lord, to let go of those past hurts and those wounds and to keep letting go of them till they're gone. Thank you, Lord, you've never given up on me and you've never given up on any one of us in this place. And you still have plans to prosper us and cause us to be a blessing to others. Lord, will you help us to pray? Help us to be faithful. Help us to be close to you. Give us ears that hear your voice and hearts and wills and minds that want to say yes, Lord. And help us to live for you today and tomorrow and as long as you place us on this earth or until you come back. Lord, we thank you. We are yours, bought at a price. Thank you that you are here with us. Fill each person, I pray, with your spirit in this room right now. A fresh touch of your Holy Spirit on us. On me, Lord, I pray. On us. That we might just sense that you have so much more. So I say more of you, Lord, in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen.